This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
You are now listening to the Dynasty Rewind.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Dynasty Rewind. I'm your host, Michael Bauer, the best in the business, once again back in business, joined as always by my faithful co-host, Nate, the Professor Christian. Hi, Nate.
Hey, Mike. How are you taking the Jason Kelce retirement news?
It's a bummer, but, you know, we've kind of been thinking about it for the last few years. It could have happened, yeah. So hate to see him go. Excited for what's ahead for him. And I will say he did handpick his replacement in former second-round pick out of Nebraska, Cam Jurgens. There's been a lot of talk on X about they're going to draft this guy or that guy. I think their contingency plan is in place. Cam Jurgens goes to center. Tyler Steen, who's a third-rounder from Texas last year, should be the new right guard. But I can't wait to be disappointed on draft night when Howie Roseman drafts an offensive tackle in the first round.
Yeah, I think you guys could use some secondary help.
Yes. Yeah, but this is just what they do. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. I've seen them mocked with getting some Kool-Aid McKintry, I think his name is.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at many of the defensive players for the Eagles because I've been too busy looking at offensive players because I need to know every single rookie that I'm going to leave every single round with, Nate. Segway King is in the house. And hey, you know what? We figure out where these guys land based on ADP. Just in case you're new to the game and you don't know what ADP is average draft position. And the way we make that is we do mock drafts over on the Patreon, patreon.com/DynastyRewind. Do us a free 7-day trial. Come hang out. Come mock with us. A lot of people stay. We have a good conversion rate because the Discord is fire, as people have told us.
It is.
That's right. Bet. All right. Our Discord is caked up, as the young people say.
Oh, no.
I haven't looked up what that one means.
Oh, no.
But it's probably good, right? Because who doesn't love cake? Nate. Nate, let's start with round one. Who is the guy that you're locking down in every single draft you have, or trying to, the best of your ability, in round one? Who and why?
It's hard in round one because there's a lot of players I want. Like, there's round one this year is stock full of players that we want on our dynasty team. It's not like, okay, there's a top four, top three, and then it's whatever. No, it's a top seven. It's a top eight now. Gosh, by the time the NFL draft comes around, it could be a top nine, top 10. It could be the whole first round where any first round pick is an incredible pick. Who knows? There's going to be some guys that fall and bust out, though, because not everyone's going to be the safe prospect that we think they are. But Mike, there's one player that I feel better about than any other player outside of Marvin Harrison Jr., I think, being a incredible pro. And that is Rome Odunze, wide receiver out of Washington. I talked about him in the last pod. He is pro ready, not just physically, but also mentally. He showed out at the combine. He showed us that he's athletic. You know, these bigger wide receivers, a lot of times were worried that maybe they don't have the athleticism to, you know, keep up in the NFL, and they just have to, you know, be those bigger contested catch guys. Rome Odunze does not have to worry about that. He's got the athleticism to add yards after the catch. He had a punt return touchdown this year. He is athletic and able to make people miss after the catch. So it's not just winning at the contested catch point. It is creating separation. It is winning after the catch as well. And it's also the mentality, I think, with Romo Odunze that teams are going to love, and reasons why I think there's just as good a chance that he goes in front of Malik Nabers as there is that he goes after Malik Nabers. I think it truly is a toss-up because, you know, when we're looking at it from a fantasy perspective, you know, there's honestly not as many variables in play. But when the NFL teams are looking at it, you know, they have to take a lot more into account. And just everything we've heard from Rome Odunze's team and people talking about him, man, he has just impressed me week in and week out throughout this pre-draft process on how he carries himself, how he has continued to improve himself throughout this. And I think he's going to be such a good pro player, Mike, that I do not want to leave my drafts without Rome Odunze. He led the NCAA in receiving yards this year, had 1,600 yards. Okay. Rome Odunze, he is impressive. There's a top five in receiving yards. Outside of Rome Odunze, the one with the largest ADOT was Tet McMillan out of Arizona. He had almost 1,400 yards and he had a 12.9 ADOT. Rome Odunze led the NCAA with a 15.5 average depth of target. He is truly that three-level threat. I say it sometimes about these prospects. Malik Rome Odunze checks all those boxes for me. And I'm not leaving my draft without him, Mike. So I'm trying to get to the 106 because that's what the DR ADP is right now on Rome Odunze. So there's some players that I can move right now. Devon Achane. I like Devon Achane a good bit, but if you're trying to move a running back for a wide receiver right now, maybe you don't really need Devon Achane. You're a little worried about his size and maybe injury, and you have two other running backs you already are good with. Yeah, we can move him over, try to get some room with Odunze. Drake London. Mike, I know there's a lot of Drake London fans out there, but give me Romo Odunze over Drake London. I don't think that's a spicy take, to be honest. And then Jordan Addison. I like Jordan Addison a good bit. And you're like, Nate, I picked Jordan Addison up last year at the 106 or the 105. Now I'm trading him for the 106 this year. That doesn't make much sense. I should get more than that. Well, maybe you can get more than that. But at the end of the day, Mike, you asked me, I would rather have Romo Odunze than Jordan Addison.
Really?
Yeah.
So that just shows me how much you really like Romo Odunze, because you were quite the Jordan Addison fan coming into last year.
It's definitely close. It's definitely close. And Jordan Addison's already proven on NFL field. So I don't... not just out there moving all my Jordan Addison for Romo Odunze, but yeah, that's how good I feel about Romo Odunze and the upside that he brings. And especially because he brings that kind of the unknown where he's not the wide receiver two across from Justin Jefferson. Romo Odunze could maybe be the wide receiver one for a team and maybe give us some more fantasy upside. So those are some guys I'm moving for him picks wise. Could you move up from like the 109 with the 205 and get to the 106? I think that's a trade that you could probably, get a conversation started. Mike, Keep Trade Cut told me that you, with the 109, you would need a mid-third to move up to the 106. I thought that was laughable.
Yeah, I don't think so. I understand the logic there, but I just feel like when you're on the clock, people don't want third-round picks in the first round necessarily. You need that second to move up.
I need more. Who knows?
Yeah. I like it. I like where your head's at there, and that just shows your conviction. So that's Nate talking about how he needs to leave with Rome Odunze. And I'm going to tell you, if I'm at the 108, I want the wide receiver 4 and 8. I want Brian Thomas from LSU. Hey, Brian Thomas had 1,100 yards last year. Oh, but he only had one really good year at LSU, Mike. What's up with that? I looked into it. In 2022, do you know who had a good year receiving-wise for the LSU Tigers?
Malik Nabers?
And that's it. Nobody else had over 414 yards, and that was Mason Taylor. And then after him was Jeray Jenkins and then Brian Thomas Jr. with 361. And in 2021, the leading wide receiver for the LSU Tigers with Max Johnson and Garrett Nussmeier slinging the rock. Ooh. Was Kayshawn Boutte with 509 receiving yards. So the fact of the matter is, Brian Thomas's first 2 years at LSU, we had one standout wide receiver, Malik Nabers, who many people are considering to be the wide receiver two in this class. And LSU, they tend to lean a lot of times towards their older players, the guys that have been in the program for a while, unless they have somebody come in and really pop off. So I'm okay with this. I'm better with a third-year breakout than a fifth-year breakout in Xavier Leggett's case. But at the end of the day, we're taking him in the back half of the first round, not like where Xavier Leggett's going in the back end of the second round. But that being said, look, I like Brian Thomas Jr. He's a lanky guy with great hands. He's not the most physical player overall, but he does make NFL style catches. And I did see some inconsistencies in the short game, but I like him in the intermediate and deep ranges. I love Brian Thomas Jr. If I'm at that part of the draft, I really want to focus on him. And if I can't get him for some reason, Troy Franklin will be a good consolation prize, if you will. Here's some guys that are valued around that pick right now. Kyle Pitts, I'm assuming that would be in a non-tight end premium league. It didn't specify. Bryce Young, Deebo Samuel, and Jaden Reed. Nate, would you give up Jaden Reed for Brian Thomas Jr.? Because that one, I put him on here because that one's really tough for me.
Yeah, maybe. I think there's definitely an instance where I would trade Jaden Reed for Brian Thomas Jr. You know, imagine Brian Thomas Jr. goes to the Jaguars in the middle of the first round. Yeah, I'm going to take Brian Thomas Jr. over Jaden Reed. Yeah. And that's less on Jaden Reed and more on just the fact that there's a lot of mouth to feed with the Packers wide receiver corps right now.
True. That is a good point. I think if you wanted to trade for the 108, you didn't have any other draft capital, you could do it for like a 25 first. You know, it's try to say, hey, my team's really bad. It's going to be an early pick. But I think you could probably also move up from like the 112. And I think you could do that with, if you tried to do the 112, let's say you had the 112 and the 212, and you move both of those, you could probably get the 108, maybe a third or fourth back on top of it.
Yeah, I think that's definitely around that value.
Yeah. But Brian Thomas Jr., he's my guy. I like him.
Nice. I like Brian Thomas too.
Nate, I know you like the guy in your second round. So who are you not leaving the second round with? My God, you love this guy.
I love this guy. And what is the Patreon doing to have Ladd McConkey as the wide receiver 9 going?
They're listening to you. 5?
They're not listening to me, because if they were listening to me, he would be in the back half of the first round.
That is actually true. Sorry.
So right now I'm looking at Ladd McConkey at the 205, and I'm thinking that's an incredible value. Now, I get it. I'm higher than consensus on Ladd McConkey, but I love me some McConkey. Like I said in the last podcast, he showed out the NFL Combine 4.39 in the 40-yard dash, 1.52 10-yard split, Mike, which is the same as Trey Benson's or A.D. Mitchell's. So Ladd McConkey, he's got real speed, and he proved it. And he's a really good route runner, one of the best route runners in this class for me. So between that and showing off elite speed, and everything else he brings to the table, you bring yards after the catch ability, good hands, physical, so that the catch point plays hard. I love everything that Ladd McConkey's done. And in 2023, he had 3.26 yards per route run, Mike. And anytime a prospect reaches 3 yards per route run for me, that's getting into the top tier company of that draft class. And usually you're seeing the top wide receivers at that point. Now, I mean, now and then, like this year, you got Ricky White in there from UNLV with, I think, like 3.8 yards per route run. So maybe there's something there with Ricky White, but also you don't see that a lot with guys who aren't, you know, top tier producers. And Ladd McConkey, despite not being on the field as much as we would have liked him to be, when he was on, he was a top producer. And for me, as long as he gets the draft capital back it up and the medical's clear, he is a huge value for me at the 205. He should be coming off the board a lot quicker than the one wide receiver 9. So right now to get this pick, though, Mike, you can move a guy like Chris Godwin, Jameson Williams, or Romeo Dubs, just some other wide receivers that I would much rather turn in and come out with Ladd McConkey.
Okay, interesting there. Yeah, I think I probably would rather hold on to Chris Godwin of those three. Just a little
of the three, sure.
Yeah, but I'm okay with, and I feel like you could probably move these other two guys and get some plus value, like Ladd McConkey and plus a little bit. I'm not saying it's going to be an excessively plus. And also, I do want to just update everybody. I know you're hanging on by the skin of your teeth. Ricky White has decided to forego the 2024 NFL draft. He will remain at UNLV. Also, Ricky White, 2 years at Michigan State, transferred out to UNLV, where last year he posted 88 catches for 1,483 yards and 8 touchdowns. Nate, he also averaged 16.9 yards per reception. So there might be something there.
Hey, you're right. There might be something there. Small school player of the week next year.
Oh, maybe. We're going to have to look into him. And if you want to hear all about small school big player of the week again during the season, patreon.com/dynasty rewind. So let's get back into it. My second round guy, I'm a big fan. Tennessee whatever. Jalen Wright, the running back. His current ADP is the 206. He's the running back 3 in this class. But Nate, what I love about him, and you'd said on the last pod that the comp was Alvin Kamara. I didn't get to say it then. I feel like it's a really lazy comp. I'm not saying that you made that comp, but you see the helmet. And
I even pointed out the helmet scouting.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, he's Alvin Kamara. I think he's a better pure runner than Alvin Kamara is. Alvin Kamara is a fantastic receiving back, but if you watch him throughout his career in the NFL, he's not the best pure runner. He struggles at times between the tackles. Jalen Wright does not. Speed, burst, lateral agility, he has it all. Now, I could see him being a mid-round draft pick and having a Kyren Williams type ascension. It might take a year or so, but that's okay. Because if he's a later draft pick, you're picking him up late anyway. He's not the most powerful. He does compensate with cuts, change of direction, and he has very good above-average long speed as well, Nate.
Yes, very much.
He is currently valued around players, Nate, such as Diontae Johnson. Interestingly enough, I saw the Pittsburgh Steelers said that they were open to trading him. That could also be a scare tactic. I don't know. Because why would you trade him? Then all you have is George Pickens. That's scary. But then wheels up for Pat Freiermuth. That would be the case.
What are they trying to do with Kenny Pickett? Like, are they trying to help him out or not?
It's just like, it takes me back. Like, we want to help this guy out, but then let's trade one of your best targets. It reminds me of 2020 when the Eagles benched Carson Wentz for Jalen Hurts. And they're like, well, you know, we're going to help him out. We're going to run the ball more and do this and do that. And I'm like, why aren't you doing that the whole time? Just say you didn't want the guy to be your quarterback anymore. But he's also valued around Calvin Ridley, Daniel Jones, Jalen Warren, and Alvin Kamara. So you could go from Alvin Kamara to Jalen Wright. I don't recommend making that move right now until you know where Jalen Wright is. But that's what we're looking at. Jalen Wright, Nate. We're excited to announce that we have partnered with Mint Mobile. Have you ever thought, why in the world is my wireless bill so darn high? What are you paying all that money for? Speed, coverage, data, access to 5G, unlimited talk and text, mobile hotspots? Great news. Mint Mobile offers all of these features for as low as $15 a month. They're built on the nation's largest 5G network, and they keep costs low because they sell direct to you online, cutting out the retail stores and salespeople. Why should you pay more than you have to for access to the same network? Go to https://trymintmobile.com/dynastyrewind, also linked in the description, to get premium wireless for $15 a month. Guys, $15. How hard is it to switch your service? Big Wireless wants you to think that it's hard, but switching to Mint is super easy thanks to digital eSIM cards, which most phones now have. You can sign up and activate immediately right on your phone from the comfort of your home. If your phone doesn't have an eSIM, Mint will ship you a new SIM card for free. Big Wireless also wants you to think that they're the only option, but don't be duped. And now through January 1st, you'll receive an additional 3 months free. Buy three, get three. If you purchase a three-month plan using our link, https://trymintmobile.com/dynastyrewind. Again, link in the description. The offer is available on all plans, including unlimited. All right, Nate, let's move on to round three. Shocker.
Once again, what are we doing in these mock drafts? Come on, people. That was Marshawn Lloyd still in the third round of our mock drafts. Mike, he's currently got a DR ADP of the 302, which is RB7.
Beautiful.
Ludacris.
Ludacris.
He deserves to be in the second round. As I said earlier, I think in the last pod, he's an auto draft for me at the back half of the second round right now.
He is.
5'8 and a half, 220 pounds. So he's got that BMI. He's over 5'8. That's the threshold there. 220 is really good. For me, I kind of comped him to DeAndre Swift, but he came in even bigger. So he's kind of a bigger, stronger DeAndre Swift to me. Doesn't have quite the receiving production in college, but I truly, watching the film, he's got the receiving chops where he can be a plus receiver for a team at the next level. Came into the NFL draft, ran a 4.46, 36-inch vertical, and 25 reps on the bench, Mike. That 220, you can see it's strength. And that's what I really like about Marshawn Lloyd. He's got the burst. He's got the receiving ability, and he's also got the strength and contact balance to run in between the tackles. And for me, while Marshawn Lloyd might not be your stereotypical, prototypical running back that's going to, you know, be a three-down player, I think Marshawn Lloyd brings that to the table, especially in today's modern NFL, where maybe he's not, you know, truly the RB1 in the backfield. Maybe he's the RB1A, and they have someone else out there kind of splitting some time with him. But if Marshawn Lloyd is getting 50%, 60% of the carries, which I think is within the realm of possibility for him with his talent, and if he gets that day two draft capital that I'm really hoping he gets now, then I think he can come in and he could be a top 24 running back for your fantasy team. And I think getting that right now at the back end of the second, the beginning of the third, it is a huge value. I don't expect his ADP to stay here. Like I said, I do expect him to get drafted day two, which I think if that is the case, really locks him in as a second round pick. And he's my guy. I love Marshawn Lloyd. RAS score of 8.90, which if you're not familiar with the RAS score, relative athletic score, this is probably the best score that I go off of for measuring athleticism based on size. 8.9, that's really good, Mike. It's 89th percentile. So
if memory serves me correctly, he tore his ACL his first year at South Carolina, right?
He did.
So he's over three years removed from that. And last year, I mean, he averaged 7.1 yards per carry, and he averaged 17.8 yards per reception. So he definitely does have some receiving chops too. That's Nate's guy. This is my third round guy. UCF wide receiver Javon Baker. So he was an Alabama recruit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then he did transfer to UCF. I would have loved to see him stay at Alabama and do well, but he could have ended up just being like Jermaine Burton, which wouldn't be so good. This ADP will not stand. The 307, he's wide receiver 15 right now, Nate. That is ridiculous. Here's what I like about Javon Baker. Is he the most physical player on the field? He is not. But does he have breakaway speed and the ability to shrug off defenders with ease after the catch? He sure does. And I know I just said he doesn't have the most physicality. However, what he does have is he just has a nice stutter step, or he could spin away from defenders. So he uses what he has to get away from defenders. There were times out there, I was watching some cut-ups of him last weekend, where he was just wide open, could separate well, and he just made it look easy. He really made it look easy. A lot of guys don't like when players tear down, but I think honestly this might have been the best thing for him to do because he really stood out his last 2 years. He's strong at the catch point. He's strong in traffic. He's a really sure-handed receiver. His route running isn't the best. It's not the most pure route running, but he's going to be labeled as a good project wide receiver 3 that could eventually ascend to be a little bit more than that. And in the third round, if you're getting a guy who's a wide receiver on a team, like if he went to the Eagles, if he went to the Ravens or somewhere where he's a locked in wide receiver 3 from day one, I'm perfectly fine with that. That's what I would love. I'm throwing him my taxi squad and I'm letting him just simmer and learn from there, Nate.
All right. See, I agree with what you're saying. I think there's some potential there. For me, I think the third round's a little early though. Well, if I'm getting Javon Baker in the fourth round, I'll take him there, but we'll see. We'll see if the ADP holds, Mike. But speaking of the fourth round, I'll go ahead into my next player. We love this guy here at the Dynasty Rewind. And I'm here batting for Bob since he can't be here. And it's Ben Sinnott at the 401, the tight end 3 off the board. Ben Sinnott or Sinnott. How are we saying it, Mike?
I believe it's Sinnott. Sinnott is how I heard the announcer saying it when I was watching.
Better than Sinnott.
I agree.
So Ben Sinnott. I'll say that correctly now. He should be coming off the board a lot earlier than 401. And I don't think it's completely his fault because he's the tight end 3. So he's obviously being valued somewhat highly in accordance to the draft class. But the tight end 3 should be coming off the board earlier than the 401, even in a non-tight end premium league. Once these guys have draft spots, the tight end 3 is not waiting to the fourth round to come off the board, Mike. There is no way.
Sure.
Right now, this means in our DR ADP, we don't have a single tight end in the third round. That's not going to happen once we get to the draft class, actually getting drafted. You know, if any of these guys go to the Bengals, the Commanders, the Chargers, the Dolphins, you know, if Ben Sinnott goes there, then he's easily a third round pick, if not, you know, a late second round pick, you know, going to a team like the Bengals or the Chargers, where, you know, whatever tight end gets put into that spot is going to be a fantasy darling. So, number one, I wanted to just mention that we're going to see more tight ends coming off the board earlier than we currently have in our ADP once these guys actually have landing spots. The tight end fever, Mike, it's going to hit. It's going to hit. But, you know, taking a look specifically at Ben Sinnott, had an incredible combine. He had a 4.68, which is good. We will certainly take that, at the same time as Jatavion Sanders. Just in fact, a 40-inch vertical, 10-foot-6-inch broad jump, Mike. Elite numbers in those two marks. The jumping ability for Ben Sinnott was really impressive. Coming out to a 9.49 RAS score. That means he's like top 100 since 1978 or 87. I think it was 87 is when our RAS score started. So really showed off the athleticism of the combine. He's some guy that we have already liked a lot on film. He's starting to get the hype around the league. I think he's a value right now. I don't think he's going to last into the fourth moving forward, though.
No, for sure. I can see him being a mid to late second round pick by the time all said and done, based on landing spot, of course. Hey, we're in the fourth round. My guy's almost in the fifth round. That's Dylan Johnson. Non-consensual Dylan Johnson is running on. He's currently going off the 4-12. So like I said, almost in the fifth round. He's running back 12. Did he test well at the combine? He did not. However, what I see on the film and that pick, the 4-12, I'm willing to take the chance. A punishing running back. Good between the tackles. He could break it outside too. This is a guy that can close out a game, that can grind a game out. Oh, by the way, he played at Mississippi State. He's an above average receiving back as well. So I'm not worried about the combine stuff. He's going to get a shot. He's going to be a day three pick. I'm going to throw him on my taxi squad anyway and see what happens. That's what you do a lot of times with guys in the late fourth and fifth round. And speaking of which, Nate, let's move on to the fifth round. Who do you got?
In the fifth round, I got Luke McCaffrey. Mike, we're back to the bloodlines. Back to the bloodlines.
Yep.
Not just the Christian McCaffrey bloodlines, though. Remember, their father was Ed McCaffrey, very good wide receiver in the NFL for a long time. So what does that mean for Luke? He's a fifth rounder. He probably stays as a fifth rounder, Mike. Maybe he sneaks into the back end of the fourth. But hey, we're talking about the fifth round here. So it's not full of guys that I'm super excited about. But when we're taking dart throws in the fifth round, Luke McCaffrey is somebody I want to take a dart throw on. He showed off good size at the combine. He performed pretty well. He ran a 4.4. I'll take that. Did he run a 4.4? Mike, can you check the combine results for me for Luke McCaffrey? I didn't put him down here. I was so excited about his performance for the Rice Owls in 2023, where he had 120 targets, 71 receptions, 992 yards, and 13 touchdowns, Mike. What really impressed me with Luke McCaffrey was he was dominant at the catch point and scored a lot of touchdowns because of that. He actually finished the season with 8 straight games with a touchdown. 8 straight games with a touchdown for the Rice Owls. And not only is he winning at the catch point, but he's also a former quarterback. And he's a little hard to catch after the catch. And he's a little slippery, despite being a little bit bigger, because of that quarterback background where he, you know, had to make something happen in tight spaces. So averaged 6.0 yards after the catch per reception last year. So I like kind of the all-around talent that he brings to the table. He's not the greatest wide receiver. He's still obviously learning the position, but for how quickly he's learned it and got to this level is impressive. Definitely someone that you might label a developmental wide receiver. But in the fifth round, this is a guy I'm fine picking up, putting my taxi squad in deeper leagues, and seeing if there's something that gets developed in the first year or two, and we can see Luke McCaffrey become something in the NFL.
So according to various news sources, he has 3 official 40-yard dash times, and they range from the 4.6, 4.7, and 4.8 range. But everyone says that he did beat Christian McCaffrey's 40-yard dash time. So it's just something to think about. CBS Sports has him at an official 4.47.
You got to go to the NFL.com. He's got a 4.46.
All right, there you go. There it is.
We'll take it.
No, I don't want to watch a video. I just wanted to click on that. Okay, so I agree with what you said. He is still trying to learn the position. He's not quite there yet. But I like what he brings to the table. And in the fifth round, I'm willing to take a stab on both him and South Dakota State running back Isaiah Davis. Guy's going off the board at the 5.7. He's running back 15. He's another guy. A physical runner, an above-average receiver. They did actually use their backs quite a bit out there at South Dakota State. Now, he does lack the burst and long speed of a player like even a Dylan Johnson. He's good between the tackles. He can handle the full workload of being a three-down back. I'm not saying that what he's going to be. I could see him being a guy that sticks around for a little bit in the NFL. Yep. He's always going to be hanging around fantasy rosters too. So Isaiah Davis, South Dakota State, late fifth rounder, could even end up being a UDFA in your fantasy drafts as well. So that's what I got. That's it. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. So until next time, for Nate, I'm Mike. Thanks again. All right, everyone. That is going to do it for us this week. But if you're headed to a game, make sure you check out SeatGeek.com. It's your one-stop shop for all things live events. It offers the best price available. Use the promo code DynastyRewind. You'll get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Don't forget, if you want to play some best ball, head on over to Underdog. It's the easiest buy-in in fantasy football. And it's not having to worry about setting your lineups, man. That's what it's all about. So again, underdog.com. Use the promo code Rewind. A 100% match on your first deposit up to $100. Visit our store over at payhip.com/DynastyRewind. That's where you find our roster reviews. That's where you find all of our manuals and everything like that. Head on over there now. Grab some merch at spreadshop.com. Link is down below. And we want to see you in our community. And that is patreon.com/DynastyRewind. But until next time, everybody, for my faithful co-hosts, Chev Nooney and Nate Christian, I'm your host, Michael Bauer. Be kind, please rewind. Thank you for listening.